Father, we desire your help. We desire your help in knowing how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We want to be sharpened. Our ears want to be sharpened. We want it sharpened to hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. One of the scriptures that I've been praying for a while now is when during daily prayers, I think Adasa, that's the person who leads the prayer, talked about Colossians 1 verse, I think it was 17. And it's just, I do not cease to pray for you ever since I heard of you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's been my prayer, that Lord Almighty, help me to be filled with the knowledge of your will. You know, when you have a very good understanding of who the Lord is, what he's doing in your life, how your life is being patterned, you'll find things very easy. Like everything will be very easy. So it should be a cry every day. One, the cry of let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know you, and also the not coming into the knowledge of your will in all spiritual understanding and in wisdom. So we're going to pray that prayer this morning, and we're going to be saying this afternoon that Lord Almighty, let me come into the knowledge of your will and understanding, in understanding and spiritual wisdom, in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Cry unto the Lord. Tell him that you want to know him. You want to know his will for your life. You want to know him much more. You want to understand as you open the scripture. You have great understanding. Great understanding. Wisdom is because the beauty of the day for you. Ora dega baya dega borogodosha. Aja ba 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 ya gadeta. Aze bandon dega de borogodosha. Aja ba 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 ba. As we fellowship together, we want to know your will for our life. We want to understand. We want to understand. Grant us great understanding in the name of Jesus. Grant us great understanding in the name of Jesus. Grant us great understanding in the name of Jesus. Rabaradeta baradeta arabababat arabababayat arabababayat arabababayandi eregedegedegedegedesha arababayagadandegedesha azozozobodondi eregedegabayagadosha arabaradegedeborogodosha orababat areborogodosha areborogodosha aregedeborogodosha Arrede de Borogodos, Azaba Babat, Aronde de Boronde de Borogodos, Azaba Babayande de Borogodos. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you understood what Rachel taught us today? Awesome. Awesome. So if you check John 16:13 talks about who the Holy Spirit is. That, however, He, the Spirit of Truth, will guide you in all truth, and He will show you. He will not speak of His own authority, but He speak whatever He hears. The Father says is what He will give unto us. So you know, the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is the one who guides us. Is the one who helps us in every. Like, you can't do anything in this life and do it successfully if the Holy Spirit is not helping you. The Holy Spirit is always available, and it's just for you to just turn. Scripture says that whenever you turn to the Lord, whenever you turn, just it's just a matter of turning. And the turning happens in the heart. The turning happens in the heart. The minute you shift your heart and say, I want to turn my gaze. That's what Moses did. He said, I want to turn. Now I want to see these sights. And the minute he turned, the Lord spoke to him. The minute he turned, it's just for you to turn your heart and say, I want to now do the things the Lord wants me to do. I want, and it's never too late. One thing I was telling the Abu Legba people is that even if you don't turn, age 20, age 30, age 40, the Lord is not growing old. You are the one growing old. The Lord has time. If you don't turn today, if you harden your heart, if you say, no, I don't want to listen. Age 50, if you are now turning at age 50, yes, time has gone. God will bring you back. You see that thing that the Lord is trying to tell you when you were 10 years old? The Lord will bring it back to you when you are 50 and say, I want you to now go back to that thing that I want you to do. The thing I've been talking to you about, the way I've been asking you to behave, I want you to now start behaving that way. The Lord will not say, at age 50, I think I can talk to him at an upgraded level. No. So it's best that as you are hearing the word, begin to turn your heart. Begin to turn your heart. Let your heart be receptive to the word of God. Let it receive. If you don't have understanding, ask the Lord for understanding. Go home and pray Ephesians prayer. Ephesians 1 verse 16, 17, pray. Lord, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Sometimes when I come to church, sometimes I don't understand. But I go back home and I pray. I ask Mama D, what's happening? I'm not getting this. And she tells me, pray the Ephesians prayer. Pray the Ephesians prayer. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. If we are telling you things, if you are saying, change your ways, change your ways, change your ways. It is when understanding dawn on you, change can begin to happen. I can only speak to you, but change will not happen until you turn your heart and say, I want to turn to this thing. Now, this thing they are saying about diligence, this thing they are saying about purity, this thing they are saying about consecration, I want to turn my heart to know how to consecrate myself. I want to turn my heart to know how to be diligent in all the ways. I want to turn my heart to know how to understand things. You begin to see that the enemy, I think Papi said something about when you, I hope I remember clearly how he said it. He said, problem, there's problem everywhere. Problem is everywhere. But sometimes when you are too focused on the problem will be dancing like this. It will be rejoicing that you are focused on it. But when you turn your gaze away from the problem and focus on the Lord, do you know the problem will be saying, resolve, please just solve this thing. Please just, it will be following you like, solve it, please. Because you are no longer focused on it. You see, when you focus on Nigerian problem, you will be frustrated. You will be depressed. When you focus on the educational system, you will see that the educational system, that's why one of the reasons why, people who relocate don't serve the Lord the way they were serving the Lord in Nigeria. And some of them, I'm not saying all of them, they don't serve the Lord the way it's because they were so focused on social amenities, good road, light, water, that when they get there, they don't have prayer points again. They don't have anything to pray about again. They don't understand that social amenities, it's just Nigeria we have the problem. If you go to Qatar, if you go to UAE countries, you will see wonderful structure. You will see road. Your prayer will change. It means that when you were here, your focus was altered. Like you were not really focused on the Lord. You were focused on what to eat. And God has said it in the scripture that do not concern yourself about what to eat, what to drink. He said, even the birds of the air, I provide for the birds. I provide for the grass. Even Solomon, you know, all his own glory, is not as decorated as the grass. It's not as decorated. Have you seen some flowers? How beautiful. You just see flowers. So beautiful. Who is taking care of it? God. God is the one doing it. So what about you? How much more you? The scripture in Psalm says, who am I that you are so mindful of me? It means that the Lord is mindful of who you are. The Lord is mindful of you. The Lord wants you to just turn to him. Turn your heart. Dedicate your heart. Even if you do it crying every day, dedicate, like, tone your heart. If you do it smiling every day, keep focusing. Focus on the Lord. What's your gate? The scripture she read, it says, when we behold, there's this song that, I've forgotten her name now, sang. It says, we behold until we are formed. How long can you wait? We behold until we... Sometimes we sing that song, but we don't really put meaning to it. What? How long? It's not how short can you wait. How long can you wait for the Lord? How long can, because you keep, see, no matter what's happening, how long can your gaze stay on him? When you keep staring at something, you will become that thing. When you keep looking at the problem of Nigeria, you become the problem. You yourself will cause, you will open your mouth and cause Nigeria. You are becoming the problem of Nigeria. When you look at your family, you look at, Pastor Lawrence told me something 2 days or three Saturdays, Sundays ago. Was it Saturday or Sunday that I went to visit him? And he told me that, you know, you are too focused on the problem of what is not working. Why not look at what is working and begin to thank the Lord for it and begin to see how you can improve in that area? What is not working will find its way, will definitely find out to work. And I start looking at it in that way. I started putting my gaze on, okay, in this business, what is working? In this thing, what is going on? What is doing well? Let's focus on it. Let's leverage on it. And I've heard the book of Awoshika say that I do not play on my weakness. I play on my strength. My weakness, I consult it to other people to. What I don't know how to do, I give it to other people to do. But you see, my strength, I focus on it. And I do what my strength can carry me to do. That is how it's supposed to be. In every of your life, in every of your thing, your career, your business, focus on the things that are doing well. Focus on God. Focus on God, because God is the only thing that is doing well in all of us' life. Focus on God. God will help you in that. I've seen this thing that is going around where people are, you know, when one thing happens, people want to bring their own skits in different aspects. Sorry, I always talk about skits a lot because I watch skits. I'm dealing with teenagers. I need to know what people are watching. So, you know, this it's God that gave you that business idea. Why not trust in the Lord? I think I've seen some of our people posting it. Why not trust the Lord that gave you the business? God is the one that gave you that business idea. God is the one that provided the school fees that sent to your parents that they allowed you to. Why not focus on God? If the school is troubling you, why not focus on God and say, God, this university is stressing me out. When she told me that stress, and then I say, focus on God. They will give you a lot of responsibility. Sometimes responsibility might want to choke you. But you have to focus on God. He's the one that will now supply strength. Sometimes I think about it. How does our pastor do it? How does Papi do it? How does Pastor Kenne do it? How does Peter? Sometimes, how does Pastor Lalu do it? Sometimes when I want to be tired, I say, Papi is heading how many churches? He's preaching back to back. Ordinary Saturday that they took from me. You are complaining. I have to turn my heart and say, Lord, please, give me strength. Grant me strength. I'm running from where I'm coming. I'm running from one meeting. I'm coming here to join another meeting. For me, I'm going here for another meeting. In the evening, I have to, whatever meeting they call, they can call us again by any time. They call us any time for any meeting. I always ask for strength, Lord. Strength, Lord. You are young. You also have your own type of, I cannot demean your responsibility and say because my own, no, your responsibility is your responsibility at this certain stage of your life. But are you doing it with your strength or you are doing it with the strength of the Lord? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With this few points of mine, I'm not done yet. All right, so today we're going to be talking about one of the topic that I'm asking the Lord to help me, myself, I'm preaching to myself. So we're all preaching to ourselves because Papi preached about it on Sunday. And is it Sunday or Wednesday now? Diligence. And he said, it's Wednesday, right? And he talked about, so if some of you, if you have, remember some of the things that he said, you can just raise up your hand to just contribute. It's a conversation, right? We're all teenagers, right? We're not elders, right? But even elders have communication. So we're going to be having this conversation this afternoon. And it's about diligence. And when I was being told to do, because I'm in different departments, they told us to do assignments. What did you learn from the message? Give three things you learned from the message. And, you know, I found out that without diligence, you can't succeed in life. Without diligence, you can't succeed in life. And I want to check the Webster meaning of diligence. It means steady. It means earnest. It means energetic effort. It means devoted. It means painstaking. Painstaking means it's going to be painful. Effort. You know, when you're exercising, you know, it's not shiri. You guys know that some of you that said, I want to be fit. Fit Farm, the month of August is my Fit Farm. I'm going to watch what I eat, what I do, how I exercise. I'll wake up as early as 5 a.m. I'm going to jog around or jodu. I'm going to, you know, that the first day when you do it, even the things that shock me the most is that from that first day, you know, you're very energetic. You can walk around or jodu. You know, when you get back home to sleep, you know the kind of pain you feel when you want to wake up the next day. That pain, you going against that pain and standing up and say, I've set a goal before me. I'm going to go ahead with it. That's what we call diligence. And it's not 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, something we talk about, 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, 10 years. If you have done something consistently for 10 years and you have done it according to how you have its diligence, Noah built ark for how many years? 100. That is diligence. And he followed the instruction as the Lord laid it in his heart. The nail he's supposed to use, the wood he's supposed to use, the kind of thing. Do you think building ark was very easy? 100 years of people mocking you. 100 years of people lambasting you. Sometimes going broke. Yeah, because it took a lot of money to build. You know, you will cut a lot of tree to get the wood. I've forgotten the exact instructions that were given, but the nails, he has to buy them. So it took 100 years or more to be able to do that. That is what we call diligence. Diligence. Painstaking. Energetic. Devoted. Are you devoted to the goals that you set? You set a goal. You said you want to make first class. And this is how you are going to make that first class. Are you devoted to reading it? And with this, I'm even talking to myself as well, because I have goals too. I know where I want to be. Are you devoted? Do you, you know, this, we say this thing, little drops makes an ocean. Do you do that little drops every day? See, even if it's very small, no matter how small, you put the effort, like every day, if you tell the Lord that this is the effort I want to do every day, no matter how small, you are, as long as you are taking a step towards your goal, as long as you are taking a step towards knowing the Lord, on the long run, you will see the growth. At the end of the day, you will see the growth. The last time I was talking about a lifestyle or the quality of your salvation, a lifestyle of a believer. And this is still the same thing. It still boils down to what exactly is your lifestyle? What is your pursuit? What are you pursuing? On a daily basis, when you wake up, what exactly is in your heart? Do you do the things that you have assigned yourself to do? Do you pray? Do you study the word? Do you go about doing the work that has been assigned to you? If you're an usher in this place, do you check how can you be a better usher? Do you improve yourself? This thing boils down to every aspect of our lives. Life. We don't have plenty of life. We are not cats. Which is not even true. Anyways, if one cat dies, he dies. You know, because the cat will not come back again after 9 lives. I don't know. It's just we've watched a lot of Winchy Witchy films that are giving us all those evil thoughts. So it's just like that. You have just one life. I hope you know. If you waste it, you waste it. If you waste your 20s, it's gone. You can't go back to be 20 again. If you waste your 30s, it's gone. If you waste 40, it's gone. So for you not to go back and start praying, yeah, the prayer works. Father, redeem my time, redeem my time. But for you not to go back to start doing that, why not begin to take the active step to be diligent in every area that you find yourself? In this season, what am I expected to do? as a 12 years old, I'm to be reading my Bible, reading my books, doing what my parents asked me to do. Because sometimes you want to say, oh, I'm going to get there. Ah, no, let me say. You know, when Jesus Christ was 12 years old, you know, when he went to the temple, what was he doing at 12, at age 12? For those who listen to Papi, I'm actually doing a recap of what he said and also just adding one or two things. At 12 years old, you know, he could have been playing. He could have joined the people dancing as they were going back home. It means that what could Jesus Christ have been doing from age, let's say, when do we start reading? 5 to 12. That he was so knowledgeable that he could talk to Pharisees, people who are experienced. He could deliberate with them. What do you think he was doing all those years? Do you think he was playing football 24/7? No. He was actively being diligent in knowing the Lord. Even if he was the Son of God, he still went about knowing the Lord. At that age, despite the fact that he was a carpenter's son, don't forget, he would work as a carpenter's son. He will walk, he will help his father bring nail, bring hammer, do this. But his heart, he was steadily studying the word, steadily knowing the scripture, steadily praying. And we can see that in his life when we started seeing his accounts from when he was 30 to 33. How much he goes. See, it's not a day thing to find, to just say you wake up as early as possible to go to a place to go and pray. Jesus Christ didn't start in one day. And the grace of the Lord did not come upon him from 30 to 33. It was a daily consistent living, his daily lifestyle that brought him to that journey. Daily studying, daily reading. I know sometimes when you come for fellowship, sometimes we say, I heard this thing last week. See, I was talking to myself and I was asking myself that, why does Papi have to preach? Why does he have to keep laboring over us? Why does he have to keep laboring over us? And I read in Acts of Apostle that Paul kept on laboring over the people. He kept on writing to the Romans, kept on writing to the Corinthians. He said, I want to come to meet you so that I can impact. He kept on, if he moves from Ephesus to the, he will go to, Corinthians. He just kept going and going back. He was going back to talk to them, encouraging them. Because at the end of it, I found out that actually, if we don't keep coming together, fellowshipping together, the wind can blow you. Situations can blow you. But when we keep coming together, there is this refreshing that comes. You say, you go again into the week. We go again in the name of Jesus. We go again. When you come on Wednesday, you hear another word. You go again. And it's not for you to just come only Wednesday, come only Sunday, or come only Saturday. When you come on Wednesday, you pick what has been taught. You go, because whatever you hear, the enemy wants to take it out of you. The enemy is also hearing that you need to be diligent. So tomorrow, they can bring work to you. They can bring the job that you have been seeking for. The money, they can ask you to come to Ojo Elegba. They are sharing something there. You will not wake up to pray. You will not wake up to do anything. You will run the rat race. You know the rat race. You keep running. No time to rest. No time to do anything. You keep running. But you are not dedicating your time. See, one thing, for those that have not gotten admission into university, and you have, I know some of you be like, I need to work, I need to make money. It's okay. It's okay to work. It's okay to make money. At least it builds your experience so that when you see your job employment description, they write 5 years working experience, you yourself can say, I can apply for it. But in this your free time, if you can soak yourself, entrench yourself in the Word of God, if you soak yourself in the Word of God and you go to the university, no matter what, how many people are in university here? Is university easy? I was telling Favor the other day, I want to go to school, I know when we're prayer points, please Lord, my admission. People is complaining of assignments. Have you posted a status? Complaining of assignment. She's snapping books, snapping this, snapping assignment here and there. He wants to choke. He wants to see if you are not, if you don't help yourself during the time where you have the free time, read the word of God. Pray. Say, I want to read this book. At this stage, most of all of us, we read Kenneth Hagin book. Take Kenneth Hagin book. Picking to read, there's soft copy, there's hard copy. Work on yourself. Work on your communication. Work on anything you need to work on at this point in time. Do it. Set a goal for yourself. Do whatever you can. Because the days are evil. The days are evil. If you are not diligent in the things in your prayer, in your study, the days are evil. When they will come and ask you for your report card and you will not know what to do. They will give you an assignment and you will begin to, may we not stammer. May we not start looking for the scripture to combat. Because see, we fight. All of us are shouting, we are soldiers, soldiers of the, we are soldiers by the word. How do you combat? How are we fighting this battle? By the word of God. We don't use knife, we don't use gun, but we use the word to pray, the word to fight. When Jesus Christ went on 40 days fasting, what did the enemy come to do? Came to tempt him. And what was the word? It was tempting him with the word. And Jesus Christ had to respond with the word and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. See, I was saying, you said that in your word, the angels, you said, no, do not tempt the Lord your God. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So you have to know the word. See, we can come here and preach, but if you don't know the word, if you are not diligent in studying the word, the enemy might bring it to you and say, well, Bible is sleeping potion. Bible is for, no. You have to tell yourself that the Bible is interesting. Because, see, every temptation that has come to you has come to us. It just comes in different shape. The devil has come to me to say, the Bible is boring. When I read the Bible, I want to use it to sleep. I have to tell myself that the Bible is interesting. Sometimes I pray before I read the word, or I read the word before I pray. Whichever one, I just make sure that I am reading the word and praying. Read the word and pray. Because the day I read the, I prayed and read the word. So that night, I was rolling on the floor. Like I was reading Ephesians. It was so beautiful. I was laughing. Last time I read Acts of Apostles, I was so excited. You know, it's just reading the act, everything that the apostles did. How Paul, how Peter said, yeah, Peter and John, and is it James? Yeah, Peter and James said, yeah. And you know, when they were threatening them that do not preach in the name of Jesus, do not preach in the name of Jesus. And he was saying that, is it for you, is it for me to, for us to obey you, or for us to obey? That confidence. I said, Baba God, give me that confidence now. Grant me that confidence, that boldness. And when they flogged them, they went about rejoicing, oh, we're flogged for Jesus. We're flogged. It helps you, because by the time you go out and you want to, and somebody insults you, you say, Lord, I was insulted for you. Yeah. It helps your confidence level. You see, people have done it before. You said, I'm not the first to have been flogged for God. I'm not the first to have been criticized for God. Because a lot of people will criticize. Whether you do good or you do bad. I said it the last time. Criticism will come. Thomas Edison, the one who did the bulb, tried how many times? Who can tell me? And one of the things that he said, I did not fail 999 times. Wife, I tried. Is it 999 or 99? Are you sure? All right. He said, I didn't fail that period. It's just that I found a better way to do it. Because each time you keep doing something, you say, oh, I didn't add this thing this time. Okay, let me add it. When you add it, you say, I didn't add another thing. Let me add it. Oh, I didn't add. See, every day, take a step at a time. Take a step at a time. There's another side to this, whereby when you're in the process of saying, I want to be diligent, I want to set goals for myself, you set unrealistic goals. I want to read 3 books in a week. I want to read three books in the Bible. I'm going to read Acts, Romans, Genesis, in a week without giving yourself a breather, without saying, you know, why am I reading? Because by the time you want to read, you want to quickly read the whole of Acts, you read the whole of Romans, you read the whole of Genesis. By Saturday, if I ask you, what did you learn? What did God tell you this week? Are you able to say something? It's possible to read 3 books in a week. But by the time you start taking a step at a time, if you are not able to read 3 chapters, take a step at a time. Read 2. Read 1. See, grace is supplied every time. Grace is supplied. The more you keep coming, the more God keeps supplying. The more you keep coming, the more God keeps saying, my daughter, you can do this. My son, you can go further to chapter 4. Read chapter 4. There's something I want to tell you in chapter 4. My son, you can read chapter 5. My son, keep praying. Stay longer. Linger more. My son, I want you to stay more. I want to speak to you about this thing. If you have been doing 30 minutes before, when you keep coming every day, every time, Lord will say, keep doing. See, sometimes you may not see the reward of your prayer now. But your prayer, you are adding, they said the angels were packing the fragrance of all our prayers. You are adding to that. You are adding your prayer. Every day you keep coming, you are adding. You don't know the soul you are praying for. You don't know the lives you are praying for. You don't know. But your own duty, your own job is not to be asking God that, who am I praying for? Or show me the reward or the result of the prayer. No. Your own is, you come every day, you ask the Lord, what am I to do for you today? Lord, as you wake up in the morning, Lord, what can I do? Who can I give? See, it's more blessed to give than to what? And to receive. So it means that our posture as a believer is to always know how to give. Who can I give something to today? Is it give love? Is it give my time? Is it give my clothes, Aisha? Is it give my heart to? Is it give my love to? Who can I give something to today? That is how you come on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. I know it's quite hot, and we are going to be praying that Mr. Adibowale will get an AC very soon before we go back to our big church. You know, that also is a blessing for the home. And one of these days we'll come and celebrate and enjoy the AC and all that. So you can do it. In the olden days, they didn't have AC. They stayed in the upper room, 120. Heat was there too. They stayed together. Praise the Lord. So if you want to succeed or to be a success at any time or prosper in life, you have to be what? Diligent. You have to be diligent in all you do. And the scripture has told us that do not be weary. Do not be weary in doing good. Do not be weary. Do not be tired. Because sometimes it may get tired. You may get tired. You can be doing good. You can be praying for one person. I've heard of people that have prayed for people for 10 years. I am praying for one particular person and it's been for years now. I'm not seeing changes. Today, when she calls me, or let me not put the sex. When he calls me, when he calls me, I say, I started reading my Bible. I will be rejoicing. I will say, thank you, Jesus. By the time I open TikTok, I see another thing. I open Instagram. I see another thing. Person has done challenge. I say, God, nah. I thought we rejoiced yesterday. Every day we go again in the name of the Lord. We pray for the person. The person, I've gone to buy. But last time, the person said, I bought Bible. I say, have you bought Bible? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. So now it's time for you to now open the Bible. You are bought by it. Open. Please start reading the Bible. I'm praying that I will not open next week and see another thing. So you will keep praying. See, you can't give up. You can't give up. The way we know is to give up on our brother. Even that brother has carried us to police station, carried us to everywhere. I'm not saying you start looking for my own brother now, but you know, I'm just saying your sister, your brother, they've taken you through. So the way you can't give up on that brother, the way you cannot disown him. See, no matter how much you disown your brother, it's still your brother. You can't, if you see him, it still affects you. It still touches your heart. That's why you can't give up on anybody. You can't give up on yourself. See, when you easily give up, it means that you are not diligent. When any small thing like this, they bring one workload, you are tired, you are abused, you are not diligent. You are not diligent. Giving up is for the enemy. Giving up is Satan's plan. But staying in the course of of what the Lord has allowed or asked you to do is being diligent. Staying in that course. What have they asked you to do? Are you in media? Whatever you find yourself doing in the house of the Lord, do it diligently. See, doing something quickly doesn't mean it's diligent. Doesn't mean you are diligent. When they ask you to do something, let's take for example now. Go and give her the pen. Come on. Go and collect the pen. Now, if I ask her to go and give her the pen, and she does like this. Go and collect the pen. Is that diligent? Doing something does not mean you are diligent. You understand? But doing it well, go and give her the pen. Ask me to give you the pen. Collect the pen. Hi, I'm told to collect it. Thank you. Do you understand? I'm just using this. It's not the perfect example, but it's just a way. When you are being asked to do something, is your heart in it? Is your heart? I know sleep is hugging almost all of you, but you will be diligent to open your eyes. Right? See, it's part of it. See, it's part of being diligent. You open your eyes, you stay. It's just like the guy that when Paul was preaching, if you were in Paul's class or Paul's preaching, when Paul was preaching, the guy, he fell from two-story building now. I am like, why were you sitting down there in the first place? But you know, sometimes you can tell yourself that you will not sleep. Sometimes when I kneel down to pray, I know I'm deceiving myself. My friend, when my friend comes to meet me in my room, and she sees me kneeling down, she comes to beat me and say, you are sleeping. Say, no, I'm praying. I used to tell her, stop it now. I was praying. Say, I know you. I know you. I can sleep while kneeling down. I can kneel down like this perfectly. And I'm gone. So I know that my way of praying is to pace and to stand. And to be, if I am not praying, if my friend is not hearing my voice, he knows that he want it in love. I'm telling you, because sometimes when we used to stay together, we used to pray together in the morning and in the evening. Sometimes you say, I can't hear your voice. I can't hear your voice. I'm praying. You say, no, you are going. You are going. So so when you are diligent, people tend to know. How, and they, you know, I've told you about friends sharpening one another and all that. In your level of being diligent, people will know your kind of lifestyle and they will help you in your journey and say, no, the way you're behaving now is not the way you told me that you want to. And accountability is very important. It's very important. I was the one that told her that whenever I see me kneel down, I'm sleeping. I told her myself, and she has testified to it severally. Yes, because when I kneel down, is a sleeping pill I have given myself. But who are you? How are you? You need to know yourself as well. Be diligent in everything that they place in your care. When they place a child in your care, diligent in taking care of that child. At this point, see, because everything is for a season. Everything is for a season. Your being in your father's house and your mother's house is for a season. Yes, it's for a season. Being with your friends right now is for a season. You all will not be teenagers forever. Oh, do you think you'll be 24 forever? You will not be. You will not be like this. Very soon, you start thinking of marriage. You are laughing. You start thinking of that. You will start saying, that girl that my heart beats so fast. That will be the next level. So if you're not diligent in the things that we are teaching you to do right now, then you will not be diligent in every other aspect of your life. You'll find out that by 25, you will now start hearing, they need to teach you. It's not everything. By this time, by 25, 30, we should be asking you, who are your mentees? Who are you mentoring? We should start asking you, where are your souls? Who are you teaching? It's not by that time we should now come and say, come, I need to teach you. Yes, it's okay. We need to teach you every time. You understand? Because even we are being taught every time. But the things that we are teaching you now should not be what we should be teaching you by then. That be diligent. Be praying now. Why are you not praying at this point in time? That is not what we should be doing at that point in time. Because as you hear the word, do it. See, be doers of the word, but not just what? Hearers. Yeah. As you hear the word, see, make it a decision that as I'm hearing the word, I'm going into this week diligence. Go and pick all the scriptures on diligence. Begin to read it, memorize it, saying diligence. Let's open a scripture. Let's not just speak from our heads. Proverbs 21:5. And you guys know that proverb is a you know, right? If you think your head was not correct before, just open Proverbs. You will get perspective. So the plan of the diligent leads surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty lead surely to what? Are we all there? Proverbs 21:5. Yes. The plan of the diligent leads surely to
plenty.
But those of everyone, see the way they categorize it. It means that those that are diligent are few. The plan of the diligent leads to plenty. But those of everyone, you know, Papi preached a sermon one time. He said, you know, people naturally don't plan to succeed. Like, people plan to fail. It takes diligence to plan to succeed. If you are going on a journey, your canal journey, your plan is actually to fail. Even though you have that great idea. If your lifestyle is going on a normal, natural canal way, you actually plan to fail in life, not plan to succeed. So, and this is in line with your finance. Finance, if at this stage you have not been diligent, you are not prudent with how you spend your money, then don't plan to have money in the future. Yes, now, because you have to be prudent. You have to be diligent in keeping your finances. It's not everything. So Papi talked about something. He said there is need and there is want. Go for it. Make sure that it is what you need that you actually buy. Most of us want car now, Abby.
Yeah.
You want iPhone 16, don't you? But is it a need? Is it a pressing need? Most of you want to have want to wear Rolex. Most of you want to wear Rolex, right? You want to have the best shoes. You want to wear what's the top brand for shoes now? Magic. Magic. Yeah, most of you want to wear Magic, but without Magic shoe, can you walk?
Yes.
Can other shoes walk?
Yes.
Is it a pressing need? Without the shoe, can your feet not touch the ground? So why are you shooting yourself? Why are you killing yourself for the? I think I was listening to Joyce May, and she was talking about a particular lady that, you know, over there, they use credit card a lot. In the US, in the UK, they use a lot of credit card. But what did this lady and her husband decide to do? They decided to be prudent and be diligent in how they spend money. So that means they didn't go for vacations. That means they didn't eat anyhow. They didn't eat out. You know, when you're eating out, you know, sometimes, go and check your account balance now. You have spent 1 million. Go and check your account balance. Check January to December. You have spent, you always shout, I don't have money, I don't have money. Go and check your account balance. You have actually spent millions. But on what? High square, 1,000. Tomorrow, 2,000. Tomorrow, 3,000. next tomorrow 10,000, next tomorrow 5,000. Then so, but because you are not seeing it in one at once, you think you don't have money. Actually, you do have money, but how you are spending it is why you are not having money. So the teaching on savings is very important. Save whatever you gain, whatever you get. If it's a gift, I'm even talking to myself. If it's a gift, if it's anything, you can actually save for your future. You can save for, you can save the same way you are setting goals. You can set goals and say, by this period, this is how much I want to have by saving so amounts. You can see diligent works in every aspect.
Yes.
In how you pray, how you give, how you worship, how you devote yourself to the word, how you save, how you work in your office. Because the scripture says that why should we give you something of your own when you cannot actually be faithful in another man's doing? Why should I give you a business when you are not faithful in the business that I put you in? Why should I give you a business when you are not, if you are not faithful in where you are serving right now? Why should I give you a church if you are not faithful as a Bible secretary? You are saying, when my time comes in my own business, this is how I'm going to be. No. In the business you are, you can be an entrepreneur. Do you know what entrepreneur means? And my learned colleagues can correct me if I'm wrong. Entrepreneur means that it's not your business, but you are an entrepreneur in another man's business. Like, you are running the business like it's your business. Do you understand? You are growing the business like it's your own business. That's ownership. Do you own this Glory Realms Things Ministry? Are you owning it? Are you saying, this is this is my community? Or whenever you are speaking, one of the things Pastor Laulu hates the most is that when you are presenting to him, if you say, and you are in that department, so, and you say, so they decided, you will say, who are the day? Are you not there? Say, we decided. It's ownership. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that inverter? Okay. All right. So we're going to just open Proverbs 10 verse 4. Proverbs 10 verse 4. And I'm going to read from 1 to 4 just to help us. It says, a wise son makes a glad father. A wise son. Let's look at our Bible. A wise son makes a what? No, Proverbs 10. Are we all there? 1 to 4. A wise son makes a glad father. That means if you're wise, your father will be glad. Let's just look at it literally. Your father will be happy. Because sometimes, how do I say it now? I know that some father, when they hear that their son is IT, want to study computer engineering, computer science, that son has become the engineer of the house. Anything repair, even if to repair radio, repair. That's the gladness in your father's heart. That you are in school studying, you can be, have you seen vet doctor? Your father will ask you, my stomach is paining me, what can I use? It's just the gladness. They are all, I'm just using examples to tell you how glad they are. See, when you are studying the word, when you are praying, sometimes your father will come and meet you to ask you for a decision. They will come and ask you for things. They will come and, despite the fact that they know the Lord, they will come and meet you. If they see you also being fervent, they will be glad in their hearts that you are serving the Lord. I know there's a face to it where some fathers, even though they are glad that you are serving the Lord, but they want to use work to kill you, to show that they are your father and they don't want you to go to church. You know, there's, just allow it. It's their time. But just keep praying at that stage. We have all been there. Where you want to serve the Lord, but you know, the adults are saying, you go, you know, wash the plate. You know, please, let's not go there. But they are your father, they are your mothers. So you have to obey because you have to honor them. Your days need to be long. If not, your days will be short. So honor your father and your mother. He said, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. You all know that now. When a son is behaving foolish, his mother that will be running at us. The father will not even, father will just, hey, I disown you. Straight up. You are not my own. But mother will be the one that will be praying, God, save my son. You know. May we not all be grief to our parents in the name of Jesus. Say, treasures of the wickedness profit nothing. Whatever all these wicked people, whatever treasures they get, it profits nothing. It gains nothing. But the righteousness delivers from death. Now, you who is righteous, you know when you preach to people and you say, give your life to Christ, you know you deliver that person from death. Because we were all dead before, but now we are alive in God. We all have life. So the more you preach, the righteous will deliver people from debt. But the treasure, so no matter how much that wicked uncle is giving you money, it will profit that person nothing. He said, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he will cast away the desire of the wicked. Now let's see verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes what? But the hand of the diligent makes what?
Rich.
He who has a slack hand. That's why whatever you find your hands doing, do it unto the Lord. Serve as if you are serving the Lord. Don't do it for eye service. Like if they ask you to go and print, if your job is to go and be printing, print it well. Let the person be happy. I was sending a message to someone yesterday. I was saying that do whatever you are asked to do, and do not do it complaining. I notice you complain a lot. Like, when you grumble to do something, that thing, at the end of the day, when you finally do that thing actually does not bring joy to the person you are giving. I've noticed that thing. And I'll give an example of myself. When I was staying with my sister, I used to grumble sweeping the parlor a lot. And you might be thinking, I just sweep in the parlor. Because I go to work. And I have to wake up very early to sweep the whole house. So I grumble. Do you know that? I didn't know they did. Like, they didn't see me grumbling. But in my heart, I was sweeping. And saying, every morning, somebody going to sweep this place. Every morning. Do you know that at the end of the day, they came to meet me and said, you don't do this thing joyfully. I was shocked. Because they were always in their room every morning. So how did they know that I don't do the work joyfully? It means that my sweeping was not glorifying God. It means that I did not do it diligently. It was not done the right way. I only do, you know, when you do something because you just want to do it. That's how it was. So that's how your work, if it's poor, that is how it will show. But you have to be diligent in whatever we do. Praise the Lord. Now the question you need to ask yourself is, do you have a goal? Do you have a goal? What's your goal to be fervent in the Lord? What's your goal? Do you have a goal? I'm asking you now. You think I'm not, I'll be standing, I have your time. Do you have a goal? You don't have a goal. That means you're not going anywhere. Do you have a goal? Yeah. What's your goal? No, you can, if that's what you are, I asked the question, do you have a goal to be fervent in the Lord? But your own goal is to make a clothes brand, right? Okay, continue. Okay. Okay, that's it. Please let's clap for him. That's an amazing one. What's your goal to stay in the Lord? What's your goal to remain? Because inspiration comes from the Lord. So what's your goal to remain?
Consistency.
Praise the Lord. I will not ask for that, but I believe that, you know, that the way he said it, his heart is going to be for him. Consistency in knowing the Lord, consistency in studying. Do you have a goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm ready for the prayer report. Read the word. Then I remember that I don't study the Bible. I don't study the Bible.
You don't study the Bible?
Yes, I do it probably in my life later than the first thing. I want to do some things in my life. So that way I feel it's like close to
me.
But I need to force this in my life. So I'm starting things in my life. That's like what I've said.
Have you set a time that you want to do it?
Yes, I've set a time.
And it's almost everybody's issue, you understand?
The solution to it is probably to get ready.
But you know, you just have to do it. You just have to start it. So, but if you go and tell, if you have not been waking up by 4, and you tell the Lord that you want to start waking up by 4, you know, God honors it too. But sometimes you can tell the Lord that, okay, this is the time I normally wake up by 9. Oh, Lord, I want to start doing 7. When you do it for a period of time, you know, as the Lord, as you keep doing, grace is supplied. You begin to see that, oh, I need to start doing it at this particular time. I need to start doing 4 a.m. because I need to do, you know, the more you communicate, the more you have conversation with the Lord, Lord will help you in that area. I told the Lord that I wanted to start praying by 4 a.m. And I don't know. So, think like the Holy Spirit wakes, do you know the Holy Spirit can wake you up? I fell from the bed. And that has never happened. And that was because the Holy Spirit has been telling me in my sleep, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. As I just landed on the floor, I just laughed and said, wow, wow. I just told myself, I said, wow, wow, that's amazing. Like I told myself it's amazing. It's beautiful. Yeah. My friend told me that the Holy Spirit, it looks like somebody shouts at her at very early and shouts, oh, yeah. Yeah, wake up. So she always wakes up. She's now, her body system now is now in tuned with that. Sometimes she doesn't need to hear it. She just stands up. So the minute you tell the Lord that this is the time that you want to do this thing, God honors you, and God will come at that point in time to wait for you. But the thing is, if you don't keep waking up every time, Lord will not wait for you. God wants to see that you yourself are consistent, and you know God does not give his precious stone to swines. Now God will not bring his precious things to people that will just misuse it anyhow. His presence is very important to him, so he will not just bring his presence anyhow to you that you will just misuse it. Sometimes when you are praying, you check your phone, you check the scripture, you'll be saying, instead of you check scripture, you'll be checking WhatsApp, so you'll be saying, oh, Rade Borogodo. You have to stay focused for a long time. God is always with us, but he wants to see that his children actually desire the presence of the Lord. God cannot just, the way we fall in love, I want to always be in the mirror. Oh, baby. That's how God wants you to. Well, Daniel, what's happening to you? You're hot. I mean, it's what I'm saying. So God wants you to always desire him much more than a man. Man that will tell you, I love you today, tomorrow I hate you. God wants you to love him. God wants you to desire him. Like that, for you to run a clothing business, you know, if you want to put inscriptions, look at the one I'm wearing today. It's Abba Collection, and it's inscriptions by the word Papi is preaching, you know, and it's a business that Papi just, let's start this. But if you are not serving the Lord, if you are not in sync with the Lord, you will put inscriptions, but it will not carry meaning. People will wear your clothes and it will not carry meaning. Like, they will not be blessed. They will not be blessed by it. Like, when people read Made in the Image of God, like, it means something. It shows that I am Father's. Father loves me. Because that's the name of the college. Father's love. Father, my Father loves me, and I'm made in His image. Inspiration will come. But when you are not in sync with the Lord, your alignment with the Lord is today off, tomorrow on, today off, tomorrow on. God will not come that way. It's consistently. See, whatever you tell the Lord, God honors it. Whatever you tell the Lord, God will say, okay, you want to start like this. Okay, no problem. Start taking, take one step. It's just like babies. Take a step at a time. Take a step at a time. Take a step at a time. Very soon, you become an adult. Very soon, the small, you yourself, you return yourself, because the hunger in you will increase. You say, no, my hunger for the Lord cannot do 2 minutes again. 2 minutes with the Lord. You'll be interested in going further. Say, no, Lord, I want to do more. I want to do 30 minutes. Ah, 30 minutes. Yeah, ah, two time is too fast. I want to stay more. I want to stay 1 hour. I want to stay. Oh, no. Because that's how it is, actually. You've heard of people that have prayed, stayed in a place of prayer, and they didn't know night has come. And they were there praying. When you are fellowshipping with the Lord, you won't know when time passes. When you dedicate time to the Lord. Didike was saying that she used to wake up 4 a.m. in school, in university then. And how she prays is she jumps. Some people will see her and say, oh, Spirit, oh, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's the way to keep yourself awake. I've told you how I keep myself awake. If I'm not working, if I lie down, I don't know what I'm praying about. Well, so your own, you can lie down and you can ascend. You are wonderful. Me, I don't know about that's how powerful you are. But me, I know myself. I told myself the truth. So how do you pray? How can you read the Bible? Some people put their leg inside. That's diligence. That's painstaking. Put their leg inside water and stand. And they are reading Psalm. The wise son makes glad. Even sometimes you yourself, you look foolish. Papa has said it, that when he started preaching, he used to preach himself and he will carry. I thought you could get me handkerchief and water. Okay. He will carry handkerchief like this and be sweating. He will be looking at the mirror. And the Lord said, Don't you think the enemy will not say, you are fooling yourself? Say you are fully sweating. Only you sweating. But it was diligence for him to continue in that manner. Preaching to himself. Talking to himself. Sometimes if I don't want to sleep, I will read, open Psalm like this. I'll just read. Oh Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Not chastise me. Not testing me in your heart displeasure. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Not testing me in your... It's just to keep yourself. Because you want to retain. You want to stay with the Lord. Fight to stay with the Lord. It's a battle. Fight everything to stay with the Lord. Because if you stay with Satan, is it your first son they will take? They will not only take your first son. Do you know what I mean? Can I take your first son? You guys will get, come up. You will not only sacrifice your first son. You almost want to sacrifice your whole lineage. I'm telling you. So you see, when you read the scripture, you will know how to live life. When you specialize in Nabal, how he was foolish not to recognize and discern David. You see the way Abigail was. You see Ruth. You see Esther. How she found out that, do you know that God put you in this place for this so time? Do you know that you begin to say, okay, in this place that I am in now, what is God? What am I supposed to be doing? You begin to read. You read Abraham. You read. See, like I said, being diligent is painstaking. Let me use the Abraham as example. You know, being steadfast and faithful to the word of God, saying that I will give you a son, you'll be a father of many nations. Do you know it was not easy. It took faith and diligence. And even when he even fell at some point, when he did soft landing, you know what soft landing means now? He went for Ishmael. He listened to the voice. He didn't listen to the... God has been the one talking to him about children. But he now listened to the voice of Sarah. And say, Sarah said, take my maid. Sleep with my maid. And had Ishmael. At the end of the day, didn't he send Ishmael away? But God had to say, Ishmael is not the one I have for you. Ishmael is not the one I have for you. Said, when you focus on the Lord, when the Lord is the one guiding you, you will not be like Lot. You know Lot, when Abraham told him to, when they had issues with each other, Abraham said, you know what, let's separate. If it's me, I will not fight. I will fight not to separate. I say, hey, Abraham, you that Lord has been helping, I separated not. But guess what Lot did? That means Lot has been fellowshipping. Lot's heart was not with Abraham. Lot has been fellowshipping. You see that fight that his headsmen and the headsmen of Abraham were having also was in his heart. Lot has been fellowshipping. He has been admiring Sodom and Gomorrah. That the minute Abraham say, you know what, let's separate. As he lifted up his eyes, he just picked the sweet, sweet land. He just saw places like, maybe he just saw places like fine building, everything. Say, riches are here. He used his own eyes. But what did Abraham do? Abraham turned to the Lord. And the Lord told him that, from the east to the west, everything is your own. I think he said, lift up your eyes where as far as the eyes can see. Much more than that is your own. The Lord gave him that inheritance. But Lot gave himself the inheritance. At the end of the day, if I found that Lot was really blind, like he was blind spiritually. Because even when angels came to come and rescue him, I said, go now. He was not quick. He was still dragging his feet. He was like, angel had to drag his hand. And it was the prayer of Abraham that was over his head. The prayer of Abraham that was over. Angel had to hold his hand, hold his wife, hold his two children, and drag them out. But his wife too, her soul was still in Sodom. She had to look back and turn to salt. Lot's journey, because Lot has told him that he wants to destroy all this city. But Lot said, please, Mia, don't destroy this city. Let me just run to God gave him what he wanted, but he was limited by his own vision. When you are not diligent, you will be limited. You will not see far. You'll be asking for a dog's bone, the bone that they give to dog, when you could have been able to sit with kings and priests. He said, any man who is diligent what's the scripture that says that they will stand before kings? They will not stand before mean men. You will stand before kings. Daniel stood before kings. And Daniel, and do you know what was the thing? What was the criteria for Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael? Men with good reputation, handsome, what was that thing? Knowledgeable. They were teenagers. They were not really they were not 50 years old. They were not, because Daniel served three kings. He served three kings. They were more or less like young boys. They were all young boys, because that's what they categorized them as. They were young boys, but they were knowledgeable. At your age now, can we say you are knowledgeable? Can we say you are knowledgeable? How many things have you even finished the scripture to even start knowing other things? Are you knowledgeable? Are you vast in the word of God? Praise the Lord. Have you ever thought you can live without debt? Yeah, I think I've talked about finance. If you can think, because a lot of people are in so much debt, and it's because they are not diligent, they are not prudent in how they are spending. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Borrow your destiny and joy. It's really bad. Some parents borrow money and they borrow their children's generation and enter it. Some children are suffering, paying debts. Sometimes when I watch all these Chinese films, you see children working so hard. They are paying the debt of their parents. Their parents have borrowed money, borrowed their destiny and joy with it. So that's the thing. Do you know you can live without debt? It's by being prudent, by being diligent in what you are doing. For marriage as well, you can be diligent in marriage. I know sometimes when we talk about marriage, some people just, it's as if they used to put one veil. You know that veil that we're reading in the scripture, that veil that is upon them, Israel, like, some of you just veil, you just cover your ears. I said, no, man. You all get married. I mean, you're not married. How many of you want to be Enoch? Wow. Really? Now, I'm talking about marriage. Some of you do like this. You all get married. Some of you in your 20s. In fact, most of you, 24, 25. You all get married. Yes. How old do you think people are that are married? 24, 25. You see, if you are knowledgeable and you are following the Lord, marriage, you shouldn't get to 30. Being 30 doesn't mean you are wise. A 40 has about that is a full of 40s. It doesn't mean you are wise. Being 40 doesn't mean you are wise. You can be 25. Timothy, how old was Timothy there? And he was the pastor of a church. If Paul had to write to him to say, do not be discouraged. Stand firm. When you are preaching, preach to these people, even though they are elders. At 20, 24, you can lead a church. We can send you to go and lead a mission. Yes. Do you think you are young? You are young, but not young to do the work. Not too young to do the work. Don't let anybody fool you or lie to you that you are really young. No. You can do the work. If work is given to you, do it. Whatever is given to you, do it heartily. So I've talked about never giving up. Don't give up. Because if you give up, you'll be a coward. Or you are a coward if you give up. You are not wise. Shaitin say you wise. You are not wise. So do not quit whenever anything is given to you. Do not quit. Praise the Lord. So I want us to open a scripture. I want us to open 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16. If you're there, please read for me. 2 Corinthians. I think we read it today, no? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. I hope we are getting what we are discussing. I hope everyone is understanding. I can't hear your voice.
Yes. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Okay, verse 18.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, you are being transformed from glory. It takes diligence to be transformed. It takes the process of transformation is how diligent you are on a daily basis. The process of your transformation, how you can go from glory to glory, is how much you have put yourself. See, diligence is sacrifice. Sacrifice. How much sacrifice are you giving to the word? How much sacrifice are you giving to prayer? How much sacrifice are you giving to in your giving, in your time? Because if you call me now, Victoria calls me and say, I would like to speak to you. And I listen, we pray together. I have sacrificed. Do you know that sacrifice? I hope you know that sacrifice of your time. That's you also being diligent. It's being diligent. And I give her my whole attention. I pray and my heart is in the conversation. You know, some of us, even if you say, I want to sacrifice my time, sometimes our heart is not in that conversation. You just like, I know how it feels when you want to, who did? Talk fast now. get to the point. But sometimes we have to take time to listen. Sometimes we have to take time to pray for our brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Someone should read 2 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4. Another person should open 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Another person should open Deuteronomy 28, 8 to 12. Deuteronomy 1, 3 to 4.
By his divine power, the Lord has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of the one who called us by his own honor and glory. Through his honor and glory, he has given us his precious and wonderful promise that you may share the divine nature and escape the world's immorality and sinful craving.
Praise the Lord. See, for you to escape this world craziness, the Lord has given us everything pertaining to godliness. Everything you need, everything you think that you need in this life, the Lord has given it to us, and he has given us his promises. His promises are his words. See, the word was made what? Flesh. And it dwelt among us. If the word can be made flesh. Whatever you declare becomes what it is. Whatever you declare become. If you declare that your life is going to go in the journey of the way the Lord has assigned it to go, it will go in that journey. Every day when you keep confessing the word, you keep confessing the word, I am born of God, I'm a child of God, this is who I am in Christ Jesus, I will not, my feet will not dash the stone, I will not be forsaken, I am not forsaken, my mind is consecrated to the Lord, everything I do today, I will receive favor in the name of, whatever you say becomes what it is. In this line of business, inspiration will not stop. I will find favor with everything I need to do, in getting the vendors, in getting the people that will sew the clothes, getting the people that I will find favor, in printing it, in pressing it, my business will be of good quality. With everything, see, whatever you declare concerning your life becomes what it is. Second one, second scripture.
For it, you do these things, you will never stumble.
You will never stumble. Be even more diligent. Once you do the things that you ought to do, you will not stumble. You will not stumble. I don't know how I want to emphasize it, but I just know that you will never stumble when you are asked to do. See, one thing I realized in all these, what's my purpose? Lord, show me my purpose. You know, I've read Purpose Driven Life like two or three times. We've even used it for when I was a teenager. We used it to do what's that thing? This group, read this part. Come and teach this group, read this part. Purpose Driven Life. Some of you, if you don't know it, please go and read it. It's by Rick. Is it Warren or what? Yeah. Go and read Purpose Driven Life. You know, Femi, when you read Purpose Driven Life, at the end of it, what's the cocoa of the Purpose Driven Life? To do the will of the Father. I'll tell you, you will think that there's one big idea that is inside. It's still the same thing. Do the will of God. It's just the process of doing the will of God that was what was written. Because I've read it. Because when I was like, I need my purpose. What's my purpose? I later found out that you are in a church, a Bible-believing church. Where have you been placed? I've been placed where? Teenagers. I've been placed where? Business. I've been placed glory home. Are you diligent in that place? In those places? Am I diligent in serving in this teen church? Am I diligent in Abba Collection? Am I diligent in glory home? Are the souls that I'm winning, am I diligent in seeing it that these souls don't go back to perdition? Am I diligent in it? Am I praying for people? Am I diligent in the, you know, if I'm diligent in that, what is my purpose? That's my purpose. That's my purpose. Tomorrow I can be called to do another thing. But in the one that I have been placed on, that's my purpose. That's my purpose. Last one, I was in protocol. From protocol, I moved to here. I don't know where they will move me to next. But in wherever you find yourself, be diligent. Do the work in a way that when you leave, you know that they, let it be a commendation from people that you actually did well in this area. Don't just commend yourself, but let people be able to commend you and say you are doing well in this area. Thank you for doing this job. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you want to be a good leader, then God has to be your own leader. If you want to be a good servant, God has to be your master. If you want to be a good leader, God has to be your own leader. Deuteronomy 28:8-12.
The Lord will command the blessing of you in your storehouses, and love to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God will give you. The Lord will establish you as the only people to himself, just as he has sworn to you.
If you keep the commandment of the Lord your God
and walk in his ways,
everybody will see that you are called by the name of the Lord.
They
shall be afraid.
See,
the Lord will command his blessing upon you when you stay in the place where God has assigned you to be. God will command his blessing. God will command his blessing. One of the things that, one of the words that, I really liked that my friend said before she got married was that I do not need to go from one wedding to the other to find husband. You know, there's this lie that is in the air. I don't know who used to pass all these lies that they pass to everybody. Everybody just have a mental knowledge about it. I say that if you go for wedding, husband will see you. Yes, some people, do people get married, see themselves during other people's wedding? Yes. Do people see themselves in this? Yes. But is that where God has, is that the only, because it has clouded the minds of a lot of female that they are looking for the next wedding. Ashebi. They are buying. No man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's not, see, God will command his blessing. Wherever he has placed you to be, God will command his blessing to come and help you. You see, you've consecrated yourself. You say you don't want to move around with evil friends. When I was praying, I prayed for my own friendship. I prayed for the friends that I need, and they came. I was able to spot some of them. I approached them. Some spotted me. They approached me. But you see, my friendship, my whole circle are God-believing people. They are Bible-believing. They are fervent people. But I know that I cannot stumble because I am surrounded. I cannot be foolish amongst my friends. So wherever God has commanded your blessing, if God has commanded your blessing to be here, and you feel like every Saturday, this is not the time, why should I be? We could go for picnic. We could go for, there are a lot of things that happen on Saturdays now. There is picnic. I think people don't used to enjoy. You don't used to enjoy. Oh, no way. God will command his blessings towards you. There's a lot of things that happen on Saturday. Is it get together? There's get together. Hang out. See, there's no money. People are actively hanging out. It's you that is taking Nigeria problem to your heart. I'm telling you, it's you that is so into Nigeria problem. The currency, I saw one skit, 5 naira, legend 5 naira has gone. It's you that is carrying Nigeria problem. It's you that is stressing yourself. Stay where God has placed you. Someone comes to meet you and we had a hangout. We also had a hangout. Oh, where was your hangout? Where it was at Mr. Adebowale's, Glory Remstein's ministry. We had a lovely time hearing the word of God. Nobody should come and oppress you.
Yes.
Nobody should oppress you with fun. I am having fun as I am like this.
Yes.
Because that kind of fun, sometimes when I go to the island, you will spend money, you'll be angry.
Yes.
So, so you will enter motor, you enter car. Some if you don't have money for to enter to drive and reach there or Uber, because Uber is expensive too sometimes. You enter motor, you enter car, you enter everything. Your body will be paining you. You'll come back home with pain. There was somebody that went for one, went to Calabar. And by the time I was asking, how is it over there? How is the vacation? He said, the vacation is stressful. I'm tired. He said, yes, it's sometimes because it's sometimes like you'll be tired. You'll be stressed out. But here, you are refreshed.
Yes.
You have a new perspective. A new thing has done on you. You know that going into this new week, you become diligent in everything. You begin to think, you begin to ponder. You know, you have a new way of praying. Your life is transforming from glory to glory. So don't allow anybody to oppress you. That you are not in the thing. You are not living in the what do you guys say? The train. You don't know the new thing. Don't let anybody oppress you. Praise the Lord. So I just want to, I want us to pray before I ask if anybody has any question. I just want us to pray and commit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, going forward, I will be diligent in your ways. I will be diligent in giving. I will be diligent in praying. I will be diligent in studying the word. I will be diligent in every aspect, in every area that I find myself. I will be diligent. Is it in my career? Is it in the office? Is it in my business? I will be diligent, Lord Jesus. I will be diligent in the name of Jesus. I will no longer be lazy. I will no longer be poor at doing things. I will no longer slack behind. I will no longer procrastinate. But I'll be diligent in everything I find myself doing. I'll be diligent in the purpose you have placed in my heart. I'll be diligent in doing your will, Lord. I'll be diligent in that soul winning. I'll be diligent in that soul winning. I'll be diligent in every aspect of life. I'll be diligent, Lord Jesus. No more procrastination. No more procrastination. The time I need to pray, I will pray. I will be diligent in praying. I will be diligent in studying the word. I will be diligent in coming closer to you. Oh, Rebogosh. Oh, Rebogosh. Take away every laziness. Take away every procrastination. Take away every laziness. Take away every procrastination. Take away every laziness. Take away every procrastination. In the name of Jesus, I soak myself in the word of the Lord. I'm soaked by the Lord. I shall be soaked by the Lord. I will no longer be dull in the Lord. I will no longer be dull in the Lord. I will be fervent in the Lord. I will be fervent in the spirit. I shall be discerning. I love it. Oh, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I want you to stretch forth your hand as we say this confession. I hide myself in you, Lord Jesus. I hide myself in you, Lord Jesus. My life is hidden in Christ. I will soak myself in the word of God. These hands will do wonders. These hands will do diligent works. These hands will do the will of God. My heart must align. My whole body will align. I will not be slothful in business. I will be fervent in spirit. And I will serve the Lord. I will not be slothful in business. I'm fervent in spirit. And I will serve the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I just want us to take in these few minutes. I just want us to take questions. If you have any question you'd like to ask, I just want you to ask your questions. If it's what I've talked about or what Rachel has talked about transformation from glory to glory, staying in Christ, diligence. You know, maybe you want to know how exactly can you build a routine for yourself. You know, how can you stay focused? Any question? Anyone, any question? We don't have any question. We don't have any question. Okay.
My question, when it comes to reading the Bible, I try very, very hard. I know I started about any last week, but I remember the account. The way it was, like, I can read the Bible now. You ask me what there is, I can't remember the chapter I read. So I try to read and write. So when I read, I don't think exactly right more than all right, like prayer point and confession. How am I able to do it
consistently? Okay. All right, so I'm going to answer, then I will give Mr. Remo as well to give it up. Or Mr. Remo, oh, don't worry, let me say my all right. So I used to struggle to read the Bible and be consistent in it. So, you know, I had friends that were reading the Bible, and I'm being judged by them. I'm being provoked by them. When I see people like Abike reading, even as she's busy as she is, when I go to her store, she's reading the word. I'm all, you know, having the sight, seeing people doing what you desire to do helps you to want to build that passion in you. That's one. Second one is, I tell one of them to say that I want to read Romans. And even though I don't go back to tell them what I have read, I make an intentional decision to understand. Sometimes when I don't understand something, if I read one today and I come back the next day and I don't understand, I go back to read it. There's no competition in force to read the Bible, actually. It's, do you understand what you are reading? That's the most important thing. I go back to read it. I say, what did I read yesterday? Let me recap. We do recap a lot in our teaching, in our secondary school and everything. But we do recap with our Bible. You go back, you read, I read what I read a day before, and I continue into the new one, and I ask myself question. If I was the one, what would I have done? If, sometimes I go and read, what's it called? Expounded, that's summary. Like people that have written a summary of it, I have a particular one that I use to just get better understanding into it. Sometimes you read it with amplified, you read with TPT. Let me open a scripture for you to show you how, you know, reading the Bible is actually very beautiful. And you have to actually pray to enjoy reading the Bible. You have to pray it. Like this particular scripture that I told you that Mamadi told me to go and read, is Ephesians 1:17. Let the eyes of my understanding. You can pray that prayer all the days of your life. because it's a prayer that is required for every believer. You can pray that prayer all the days of your life. Open my eyes, Lord. As I'm about to read this, you pray, open my eyes, Lord, I want to understand. Tell the Lord you want to understand. And understanding will come to you. Now, there's this scripture in John. Where's my phone? John 16 verse 17. And I heard a preacher talk about it. And by the time you check it in CPT, you know, we've always heard about eternal life. Eternal life. What do you think eternal life is? To live long. And some of you will think eternal life is when we live here, we will get to heaven. Eternal life. That's, I live eternal life. I live eternal life. But later I found out that the TPT gives a better explanation that actually eternal life is to do the will of the Father. I'm telling you. Eternal life is to do the will of the Father. Verse 16 to 17, 16 now. I hope I can remember the exact place that it is. Let me see. Verse 17. Yeah. John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. I read it in TPT. It says, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. That's the meaning of eternal life. So on our daily journeys, actually, we are living eternal life. As we keep getting to know God, eternal life. So when you begin to look at other amplified TPT, you get understanding from it. Ask yourself questions. Who are they speaking to? You understand? When you read Acts of Apostles, how did it happen? How were they? When you talk, you yourself, talk to yourself. When you read the book of Acts, chapter 1, you ask yourself, okay, who was telling them to go to the upper room, to stay in Jerusalem? Jesus. What happened? Jesus rose. After teaching them, he went up. When you begin to explain to yourself and you begin to meditate, the scripture in Joshua 1, verse 6, I think says that when you meditate, it stays in your spirit. Because there's a thing about when we read, when you close the Bible, you can quickly forget. But when you read and you meditate on what you are reading, hold on to it. If it's one word, if you see, sometimes it can be one chapter, one verse, you can stay on. You can stay on that one verse for 1 week. You can just pick that verse and say, eternal life means to do the true, to know our true God. How can I know our true God? How can I know our true God? How can I? You can be thinking on it. Be thinking on it. Be thinking on it. With that, scripture is being written in your heart. You don't have to quickly, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. No, it doesn't. Sometimes you can read it like a story. First time, I start like a story. You read a story, then you go back. You're going to be picking, okay, in chapter 1, what happened? How did it happen? How did the Spirit come upon them? Was it tongues that came upon them, or was it power? With that, you begin to understand the scripture. I will allow Mr. Aremo to also add to it.
So first is, there's reading the Bible, there's studying the Bible. So I was saying that sometimes it's only the people start reading.
Reading.
Just read the Bible. Okay. And just read it. Like, open the scripture and read it. Okay. Now, when you are reading, the next week you don't have plenty of
stuff.
But you are aware. You become aware of the word. And then they study the Bible, which was also seen as well. But, so sometimes, because we said five months, I think we have also done chapter by day. By the time you get to the verse 5, right time. When you want to finish the main 17 verses, you're going to be done. So I thought I said people about that. Guy, if somebody
was
the key thing is you have fellowship with the word. So if it's verse 5, you can do today. Do verse 5 well. Then pick up on verse 6 tomorrow. Just as well as I want to do a lot.
focus on quality, and at the beginning, focus a lot on quality more than you do on volume.
Volume.
If there's one, if I like the best, well, can be the best. Okay, don't even want this one. Or, for last week, on Psalm 23 as well. The words that I share about Aisha,
shall know one.
For example, now, you are studying. So, what I'm keeping that I'm studying is meditation.
Because
we're saying, now, meditation is the Lord is
my shepherd. My
question is scripture. The Lord, who is the Lord?
Mm.
What does Bible say about Lord?
Mm.
What does Lord mean? Lord means my owner.
Mm.
Okay, so, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the shepherd? One who has a sheep.
Mm.
Okay, so that means for me to say my shepherd, it means that I have a sheep. So the Lord is my owner and my shepherd.
Mm.
Therefore, I shall
not want.
What in my life is wanting? Have I been a sheep? Have I made him my Lord? Like, have he told me that I don't question him? So if I never had And there's more like, you don't know much. Read through, study in bits, and when you start to collect, what you said as well, be accountable to someone. I'm reading, I want to read Romans this morning. When you read chapter, today, I read chapter 1 to 5. Today, I did 6 to 7. Let there be somebody like that. Eventually, you read all the things.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was watching, I don't know how many of you know The Chosen. The Chosen that do the movie, right? So they're currently trying to make an animation for David's story. And I've watched like chapter 1, 2, 3, like 3 times now. So the chapter 1 was talking about, is it 1 or 2? It showed a situation whereby David is always alone with like 10 sheep. You know, they gave him few sheep, right? And there was one particular sheep that was always jumping. And the sheep, it was on a cliff. It was on a cliff. And the sheep was about to fall. In fact, the sheep already fell, but it was hanging on to something. So David was trying to make sure that the sheep does not fall down the cliff and dies and everything. So by the time I don't know how to explain the animation, but you can go back home to watch it. But what I wanted to say was that at the end of the day, he did not rescue the sheep. Both him and the sheep fell down from the cliff. And for days, he was there. But by the time he opened his eyes and he looked up, I found out that he did not die. Oh, no. There were two. One, he fell. The second one, he was looking at one eagle and he was running towards the eagle, was happy. He didn't know that there was a... So he fell off the cliff. And by the time he woke up, he found that the place he was were filled with bones, animal bones. It means that there's a danger in that place. And by the time he opened his eyes and he knew that he didn't know how to go back to where he came from, because, you know, he's from up now. You don't know how to navigate your way. So he decided to hold his harp. And as he was playing, he was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. It was just an amazing picture to see. Actually, these are things that, you know, I'm just saying, like a pictorial, when you picture it in your way, that's meditation. And by the time he was singing, he saw a still water. Said, I shall not want, you lead me to the side of the still water. He drank water. It restores my soul. He was refreshed. He lead me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, and he was kept on singing until he could find his sheep. And he had that idea of sheep to shepherd. You understand? So that's how you meditate. I'm just using that. It's the perfect example. Let me stop saying it's not the perfect example. It's an example. Anyways, but you know, it's just a way to think about it. The reason why that's John 17 verse 3 cannot leave my head again is because I was shocked. When I read that eternal life, I won't lie to you. I thought eternal life is when I die. You know all those book we used to see that we see garden? fine garden, all of us. That's what me, I used to think there was internal life. So when I actually thought that, okay, actually, as I'm trying to know the Lord, I'm trying to know Jesus, I'm living internal life. That scripture has stayed in my heart. Another scripture that stayed in my heart, do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. I have suffered too much in the hands of the enemy that I cannot, that scripture has stayed in my heart. I'm no longer anxious. Yeah, Kevin, my job, Kevin, my job by the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So meditate on the word of God. It's not hard. Sometimes when we hear meditate, we always think it's one big thing. When you think, question the scripture. And as well, don't question in error. But question in, ask questions that why did Paul talk like this? Why was it talking like this? Why was Peter talking like this? Why was he telling the Romans about the wrath? Telling them about the grace? Why was he telling them? What were they doing? What were the Romans doing? They were doing Sodom and Gomorrah. What did this do in chapter 2? You that now want to judge them. He now told you that you yourself, you are doing. So when you begin to question, you begin to have scriptures in your head. That's how you hold on to the word of God. Any other question? All right, Shola. How do you fight sleep? Flow now become comfortable at some level. That's how it is now. Sleep is our enemy.
So I try to be a so I try 9. But I sleep one level, I sleep in the beginning of 6-7. Actually try it. I'm always most of the day. I just how can
I? Okay, so I will answer it, can you answer as well? We are all in this together. All right, so let me start. How do you sleep? I like sleeping. I like sleeping. So I think one of the things that you are doing is you put too much, your expectations is very high and your discipline has not taken you to that level. You understand? You have not built yourself to the expectation. You want to pray 5 hours. I'm not saying that's what you say. I'm just saying that you want to do the impossible, but you have not started the impossible in little things that you are doing. You understand? So are you diligent in the little ones? Now, can you pray by 9? Why are you waiting till 12 to pray? So if you don't put, see, whenever we pray, know that God answers us. Whether you pray by 9, you pray by 12, are you praying? That's the most important thing. So what happens to praying early so you can sleep? When you now get to the point whereby you have perfected your praying early, you can now say, okay, I pray early. In fact, see, over time, when you have perfected one side, the Lord will bring more to you. You yourself will be the one that will expand. You will expand. What happens to praying by 7? Go and sleep by 8. What happens to praying by 9? 9 is just like a time that I don't think people really sleep like that. What happens to praying by 9? Pray 9 to 10. Go and sleep. Enjoy your 12 in your sleep. Enjoy your 1. Because you will be useless by 12. I'm telling you, you'll be useless. Instead of it to pray, you are battling. You are not now battling Satan. You are battling sleep. You are not now the... So every day, you keep... See, I'm telling you, if you don't change your routine, every day you keep the, and you keep feeling bad, over time you even stop praying. Change your routine. Every week I change my routine. I did change them constantly until I find that perfect. So I found some perfect ones that are okay with me, but the ones that have not been perfected, I change it. I say this week, 4 a.m. tomorrow. But sometimes when I say 5 a.m., sometimes I find myself waking up 3 a.m. Do you understand? But I did not put 3 a.m. and I wake up 9 a.m. That one, you now start feeling guilty of yourself. So Give your time. Give God. I told you, whatever you tell God now, in your early state, God honors you. God respects you. Say, God, 6 a.m. I want to meet with you at this corner every day. Lord, I want to have conversation with you. You and I alone. 6 a.m. You are awake. You know you are fully awake by 6. You sit down. You pray. You stand. You pray. You read the word. 7, 6, either whatever amount, number of time you can do it. Whether 6 to 7, you pray. 7 to 8, you read the word. Or 6 to 7, you read the word. 7 to 8, whichever way you are doing it. But just dedicate it to the Lord. Over time, before you know, you will start. Holy Spirit wakes people up. Have I not said that before? Holy Spirit will wake you up. But God cannot give his precious things to swine. If he sees that you are not dedicated, you are not diligent. I've told you, the way you walk shows how diligent you are. If he sees that you are not diligent, and you can also, you see the alarm. Alarm does not really wake me like that. Alarm does not wake me. Anybody that sleeps beside me, I'm just troubling that person with alarm. Because alarm does not really wake me. You understand? But I have told the Lord the time I want to wake up. And even that alarm, I made it in a way that it's pressuring. See, when God sees that you are giving so much sacrifice to come talk to him, God will want to come and speak to you. My alarm is like 5:55. If I want to wake up by 5 a.m., I start by 3. 3 a.m., 3:30, 3:45. Because you know your kind of person. If yeah. So you know the kind of person you are. If you are the kind of person that when people are passing, my mom is like that. When people are passing, she wakes up. You can't pass. You can't sneak. You can't steal around her. They used to wake up. Yes, those people, they are people like that. You can't do anything around them. They are waking up. You can't do... Who's there? Their heart is awake. But for me, my spirit is awake. Well, my flesh is sleeping. I'm using myself. People are laughing now, but I'm using myself as an example. So what I do is I put a lot of alarm, human alarm. I'm even paying somebody now to wake me. Yes, that's everything. You do everything possible. I say, wake me up. I will pay you end of the month. Person will come. So now it's now like if the person is getting close to my door, I'm already awake because I could sense it that somebody is coming to wake me already. Because I have told people, I've told a lot of people, if you want to do discipline, you need a lot of help. Discipline does not just come upon you like grace, like anyhow. No, discipline is your flesh. You will suffer it. You will do it every possible way. My alarm used to ring 5 times. And I put it on, what's that thing, repeats. So if I don't wake up by 6, that one that did not wake me by 6:40, we join the one that is supposed to wake me by 5, 4 o'clock. We will not be, in my dream, I'm always, please, you can cut this off from the message. It's not necessary. It's just gisting. In my dream, I'm always having night, it's like nightmare. Because it's always ringing all over my head. Now, I want to go and buy speaker to join. The speaker I had, somebody, another person that needs alarm, I collected my speaker. I want to go and buy another speaker for myself. Sometimes I plug earpiece like this. The alarm will be ringing. Papi said it now. In his own time, he used to put 3310 with vibration. Put inside his pocket like this. When the thing vibrates like it, his body, he will wake you up. Like an electric shock. So you just to see, when you keep doing this thing, they will not need to wake you in the future. They will not need to wake you. Over time, it will look like normal. Look like normal thing to you. You wake up at the appropriate time. Nobody will need you. All those alarms that you have set, nobody will need. There was a particular time, all those people that I set around me, I was wondering, what happened? Let's come and pray. Well, I was the one that sometimes you will become like, sometimes you will relapse. Maybe you go on vacation and you go to one place like that and you go to sleep. So I'm just saying that every day, God, every day, we're always guiding. Like, the fight, you are fighting battle every day, always like no, every time. So change your routine. I beg. If you need to read your Bible by 7, read it 8, pray. Me, my friend, after she finished praying by 9, I used to look at it. After she finished praying by 9:30, she just enter my room with rice around 10 o'clock. I'm like, Me, I want to start my own prayer. Why do you want to come and eat rice in my room? So I just come to come and check you that you want to start praying. That's our own time. When we finish daily prayer like this, she does not care if you are in her room. She has started her prayer at 9 o'clock on the door. Say, pray. And by 10, she's done. Before she's sleeping, by 3 a.m., she's awake. Not like praying again. So before you know your routine, change your routine for yourself so that before the Holy Spirit begins to change it for you. Because they can change it for you. Change your routine. Because when burden come upon you, when burden come upon you, your indiscipline can quench the fire. Because burden comes on people. And over the night, they cannot sleep. They are praying. And sometimes they don't know who they are burdened about. They can be burdened about somebody in Argentina. But they don't know who the person is. But sometimes you have watched some stories that they said, somebody just said, I was praying, and it was in the news. They found out that what they were praying about, it became like the prayer was answered. And we're like, oh, that was the person I was praying for. And I didn't know. Kenneth Hagin has written it in his book so many times. Sometimes he will just wake up in the middle of the night and burden. But if you are not disciplined, when they wake you, use all the things to wake you. You have not perfected your waking up. They will just go and find another person in another time zone. And say, oh, Philile, this one is meek. We are giving it. Still meek. So, change your routine. If 5 a.m. is not doing much for you, do 6. Later, you can come back to your 5. Tell God that it's really, more, Father Lord, it's 4 a.m. I want to really be doing, but as it's going, it's 5 I can do. Start with 5. Later, you say, Lord, I've perfected 5. Can I move to 4 back? Speak to the Lord. It's fellowship. It's not a dictatorship. All right. Any other question? All right. So I hope we'll, this week, all of us, are we promising that we'll be diligent? We'll wake up early. The time that we told the Lord we want to pray is when we'll pray. I'm not praying. Daniel, drop your hand. So let's be diligent. It will really help us. I'm telling you, it will really help you in every aspect. And when people ask you to do something for them, do it with all your heart. Don't grumble. Whatever you cannot do, politely tell the person, I don't think I have the capacity to do it. But if they see if they are your elders, if they demand you to do it heartily. Don't grumble. You see that grumbling? It smells in the atmosphere. God hates it. People who grumble. He hates it. You see what he did to the Israelites? They perished in the wilderness. So stop complaining. Stop grumbling. All right, let's just thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you because we know these words are stayed in our hearts. These words are like a stamp in our hearts. And we would continue to live a life that is diligent unto you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you as we go into the week. We know the enemy will want to bring his ugly head. But Lord Almighty, we are going to combat it with the way you have taught us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the strength you will supply. Thank you for the grace you will supply. Thank you for all that you'll be bringing our ways. Every lack that we've had in the past week, Lord Almighty, we ask that resources is provided in the name of Jesus. Resources of funds, resources of time, resources of love, resources of everything that we desired and which you promised us to give us. Lord, we shall receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive opening of our spiritual eyes in the name of Jesus. We will discern accurately in Jesus' name. We will no longer be blind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. How many of you are excited?